This is Rabbi Nathaniel Broen, Congregation Brothers of Israel, Long Branch, New Jersey, recording for Wednesday, December 13th, 2017. We will learn the 5th and 6th Mishnayos, 5th chapter Mishnah Derim, and the 1st Mishnah in the 6th chapter. Mishnah Hay. Right, so yesterday we saw that the things belonging to Ole Bavel belong to everyone, but not to individuals. They belong to the people. As a whole, and therefore, even if we have sworn off benefit from one another, these are items we can derive benefit from because nobody owns them. That of the same city, you do have joint ownership, and if you took such an oath, you would be in trouble. Now the Mishnah asks, "Ve'ezu hu davar shel olei Bavel?" Right? What are the things that belong to the people of Bavel? Right, the Jews coming back. Kigon har habayit v'hazaros, right? The temple mount, the courtyards, right? We don't say Reuven and Shimon each own an individual piece of it, and so does Levi and all their descendants, but no, those are things that belong to the Jewish people, right? Or should belong to the Jewish people. V'abor sheva emtza haderech, right? The water wells that they used to dig for people coming up, they should have to drink. That belongs to everybody. Ezehu davar shel osa ha'ir, what belongs to the people of the city? Kigon ha'rechava, the town square, v'hamerchatz, the bathhouse, beis ha'knesses, the shul, v'hateva, right, the ark, v'hasvarim, and the books of the Bible. Now the Mishnah says, v'hakosev chalko l'nasi, is actually, right, the Gemara explains that the Mishnah is teaching you a way to get around the problem, right? The problem is you sworn off benefit from people in the city. You all have partnership in these items. You have a problem. So Mishnah says, write your share, right? Reuven swears not to derive benefit from Shimon and Shimon to Reuven. So they both write that their share in the town's possessions belong to the Nasi, right? The head of the Jewish community, right? Call it the president, whatever it is. They belong, their share in the public property belongs to the Nasi. And then when Shimon walks through, it doesn't belong to Reuven. When Reuven walks through, his share doesn't belong to Shimon. Right, it all belongs to the Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Kosev LaNasi, Echad Kosev LaHedjot. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't have to write your share over to the Nasi. You can write it to anybody. But Ma Ben Kosev LaNasi, V'Kosev LaHedjot. What's the difference between writing it to the Nasi, to the head of the community, or anybody else, a regular commoner? She'akosev l'nasi in a tzarech l'zakot. If you write it to the Nasi, you don't have to perform a kinyan in order to get it to them, right? To transfer ownership. Chachamim, by a commoner, you would have to. Chacham said, that's ridiculous. You can't just poof and it belongs to the Nasi. Whether you give it to the Nasi or you give it to a commoner, you have to make a kinyan. You have to have a method of acquisition. All right? And lo dibru ben Nasi ela bahova. The reason that the Mishnah said the Nasi and not somebody else is not to teach us that there's a difference between the Nasi and somebody else. It's simply that's the way people would do it. Right? When we say dibru bahova, we're talking about the present. This is what people did. Right, it's simply a reflection of what people did, a recording of what people did, but not intended to make a distinction between the Nasi and a hedjot, a commoner. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein anshe galil tzuichan lichtav, shivkar kasu avoseim al yedeim." They don't have to write to the Nasi at all. The people of the Galil, right, they have a standing arrangement. Everything belongs to the Nasi. They used to swear so often, says the Kahati, and they would swear each other and benefit, and etc., that it got so crazy that one generation just got up and wrote everything over to the Nasi for all future generations to avoid the problem of these crazy oaths. Mishnah Vav. Right, so here we go back to something that we learned before. Hamudar na mechavero ve'en lo ma yochal. Right, so you swear off benefit from a friend, and now you have nothing to eat. So Reuven says, I won't benefit from Shimon. Shimon has all the food. So nosna la'acha l'shum matana v'hala mutar ba. Shimon gives it as a gift to Levi, and now Reuven can eat it. So that we saw before. It is right re-recorded here as an introduction to this fascinating story. Maisa be'echad be'beis Charon. So there happened to be a story with a guy in a place called Beit Charon. Shehaya aviv mudar hemenu hana'a. Right, his father is not allowed to derive benefit from a son. Okay, imagine. Unfortunately, we probably could imagine. V'haya masi et beno. The son is marrying off his grandson. All right, so he's paying for the wedding. He wants his father. He feels bad because now, you know, it's his grandson's wedding and he feels so bad. But his father is not allowed to derive benefit from him and he's paying for the wedding. So what is the right son of the father and father of the chasson do? Amar l'chaveiro. So he says to his friend, Chatzer u'se'uda nesuna l'chav matana. Right, I am going to give you the courtyard and I'm going to give you the food as a gift. Right, that's what the person making the wedding says to his friend, so that the father slash grandfather can come. But I'm only doing this because I want my father to be able to come and join in the meal. Right, so the friend is a wise guy, and I guess not the best friend ever. Amar lo, he says to him, Im shalihem, if they're really mine and you've gifted them to me, harehem mukdashim l'shamayim, I'm giving them to heaven. I'm giving them to the Beis HaMikdash, consecrating them, making them holy, and nobody can use them. So Amar lo, the guy says, whoa, what are you doing? This is my son's wedding food. Lo nasati et shalish datitin l'shamayim. I didn't give them to you so you could go consecrate them. Right, that wasn't the point. So Amar lo, the friend says back to him, right? Lo natati li et shalcha ela shetehe ata ve'avicha ochlen v'shosin u'misratzin zelazet. The only reason you gave me this stuff is so that your father should come. You'll eat and drink together. And maybe get back together. You'll get over to your stuff. Right, you'll appease one another. Right, bihi avan taloi berosho. But the sin, right, the sin of violating this vow is going to be on my head. I'm enabling it. So now the friend is not such a bad friend. He's worried about his role in violating this oath. Ukshaba davar lefnei chacham. So now they take the case to the chacham and say, what are we supposed to do? So Amru kol matana, any gift she'ena she'im hikdisha, ena mikudeshes, ena matana, right? Any gift that cannot then be subsequently consecrated is simply not a gift. Right? They rule here with the friend. Mishnah Aleph, first Mishnah, sixth chapter. And here we go back to the specific or the specificity of the vow. Right, when I vow about X, what does it include? So hanode min hamavushal. Right, if I swear I'm not going to have cooked foods, right? But cooked foods in the Torah, or it's not in the Torah, but in right in the Torah, in the Mishnah, in rabbinic terminology, bishul is cooking something in water. Right, afia is baking with dry heat, and sli is roasting over fire. So if I swear I'm not going to have any cooked food, right, that means I'm not going to have a stew. But mutar bitzali uveshaluk. Then I'm allowed to have, you know, roasted foods, and I'm allowed to have, shaluk here is seethed foods, but usually when you marinate something for a long time. But that's different than cooking something in liquid over fire. So if you say I'm not going to have uveshal, you're allowed to have the other foods that are cooked in a different manner. Amar konam tavshil she'eni to'em. If you say, I will not eat, I take an oath, I will not eat a tavshil, right, which is literally here translated cooked food, but it's a tavshil, an item of cooked food, like erev tavshilin. Asar b'ma'ase k'deira rach. You are prohibited from having anything that is soft. Right, here they write soupy. But rach means soft, which is the same, right? It's soup, stew is soft as opposed to chicken, which is hard. Umutar be'ava, you're allowed to have solid foods. Umutar be'vesatz tarmita, soft-boiled eggs, for that purpose considered a hard food. Uvidalat haramutza, a gourd baked in hot ashes. Why you'd want to do that? It's a fair question. Even though it got to get a little bit soft, that is all considered hard food, and it would not be prohibited since you only took an oath not to have tavshil, which is, soft, soupy foods. That concludes our learning for today. Please come back. Join us tomorrow.